Well, good day and welcome to the first, well, really test run of XPDID, and that stands for XPremiS Desert Island Discs. And hopefully we'll have every week somebody on, and we'll go through their lives with the 8 best music tracks of their lives. And today we're starting with Hamzen, who I'll actually leave to introduce himself. Hi, Ham. How are you?
All right, Jed. How are you going, Geese?
All right, thanks. Yeah. Would you like to tell everyone just a little bit about yourself, like where you were born and a little bit about the first track you're gonna.
Yeah, shall do. I was born in East London, in the UK. Well, we don't want to go into too much of that stuff, but single mum, very radical family. But very underconfident working class. Went to boarding school, got completely freaked out for a while, and got more and more attracted to hippie stuff. And that's really where the first track's coming from. When working out the list, I was looking at, really, the first time I got serious into music was about 64-5, and I was thinking like the Kinks You Really Got Me, or something by the Byrds, or Dylan, because something really hit me then, but I was still not aware of something that was being triggered. This next one, which is Dark Star by the Grateful Dead, really just sums up the whole of my life at that period. We're talking serious acid, and enough said on that one, I think.
Okay then, so let's just go ahead and hear the first track. Thank you.
Complete acid flashbacks going back and listening to that, and I think that was the period where really the whole direction of my life was set up, because certainly in the contact I had with people, with tripping, around the music, that whole hippie ideal, and especially on the acid, I had certain experiences on acid which Grateful Dead sort of summed up for me, and that was like just contacting what I thought at that time was an ultimate reality behind everything. I certainly had really powerful spiritual experiences on acid, of a sort of one love, universal God type thing behind everything, and it was the only thing that made any sense to me. And really, I think my whole life was set in that moment.
Well, that's really nice. I think from what I vaguely remember, you probably represent a lot of people. Grateful Dead were very famous, and loads of people, I believe, follow them around the world.
Indeed, and still do.
Absolutely. Personally, I never got to see them, but anyway, that's another thing. How about this? All right, let's go on to the second track. Tell us a bit about San Francisco River by Air to Moreira.
It's Air to Moreira, but I won't quibble too much.
Oh.
Yeah, well, this is a weird one, because I didn't even actually know it at the time. It came out in about 72-3, and it just sums up that whole post-acid, still trying to keep focused and get into a good vibe, and really just carries on in the same stream, really, and it's just probably one of my favourite all-time ever chill-out tracks, and play it loads. We'll be playing it out within a couple of weeks, and any excuse to slip it in, really. So actually, in terms of my life, it doesn't have a lot of significance then. It's just that this is when it came out, and I'm doing these tracks in sequence, so this is one.
river, and that was really, really nice.
You know that, man.
What have you got to tell us about
that? You know, Brazil, man. Brazilian music. Brazilian. I know there's lots of garbage out there. There's a lot of pain. There's probably more horrific stuff than we ever get a glimpse of over here. But there's something about the Brazilian spirit that I absolutely love, and the way that they can integrate, a bit like the Japanese do, pull completely different cultures in and actually just sort of make it like their own. But it's the Brazilian thing, Ayrton Moreira, percussionists, it just triggers all of that for me, but also it just reminds me of things like the Big Chill Festival, and just that really, really sweet vibe. Where you just like just go soul deep and you just feel completely at peace with yourself, really.
Well, sounds like did you go to a lot of festivals in your life?
Early days, no. I went to quite a few in the '60s, mostly smaller ones. Didn't really like a lot of the music that was being played. Found the vibe a bit too aggressive. I was real peace and love. Real softy in those days, and I found a lot. I probably should have been getting into something like the folk festival at Cambridge and stuff like that, and I would have been fine. But I also was into the electric stuff, so but very specific. So I didn't. Then certainly didn't during the next 15 years, apart from going to see Mirage or whatever anything around that. But since then, loads, absolutely loads. Been a key part of my life. Probably some of the biggest learning experiences of my life have been at festivals.
That's interesting. I believe you were brought up in a, let's say, a Buddhist environment, Buddhist-leaning environment. Can you say a couple of things about that?
I wouldn't say that my mum had a curious relationship with Buddhism. It was really important for her, but she was never able to explain it. It was like an instinctive Buddhism for her. It was about an attitude to live in the moment, not being attached, treating all things with equal respect. It was that kind of territory, really, and that's what I was brought up very strongly in. I mean, I remember going with her on CND marches when I was 8 or 9. And it was the same territory. She also worked in West Indian Afro-Caribbean civil rights. And this was in the 50s when that she took a lot of flack for that, had African boyfriends. See, it was all part of that whole non-mainstream, even though she is very mainstream and very nervous about stepping outside the mainstream. That kind of stuff was key for her, still is.
Well, that's very interesting. And maybe that will lead us nicely into the third song, if you want to say a couple of words about it before we...
Well, this is a period of my life where music definitely went a bit wonky. And it's been a constant apart from this period. And the only music I was really listening to mostly then was devotional stuff, which I kind of always had a little bit of a problem with. But there was one album specifically that I loved them, which was the Apostles, and well, there was also one track called Foxfire on Bology's album that I really liked, but it was the Apostles one, and I think it was that mixture of that San Francisco psychedelic vibe and getting into that really sweet, when it really kicks off nice for you in meditation, if you hit it in that space. And this sort of sums it up. It also sums up the whole contradiction about that whole journey with him, because the track is Leela, and really that whole journey with him, for me, all revolves around that concept of Leela. Completely affected my life on a big level for a long time.
And could you just briefly explain to the listeners what Leela means?
Oh, well, what does it mean, Leela? It's... Well, for me, it was, supposedly it's like the embodiment of God's play, where you just don't know what's going on and why it's going on, and you have to trust and have faith that whatever's going down is what's meant to be, even if it's completely in contradiction to what you feel. And I think that was, but I had a slightly other bit that went with that as well, was that the whole thing about Leela was that this whole planet just seems absolutely Well, nuts to me, absolutely nuts. And the human race seems, well, that's what I'm talking about, the human race just absolutely nuts. And it was the only sense that I could make of the universe, that you could have those experiences that were just transcendental, where you felt you were completely merged with some total truth of the heart, and yet on the same time you had all this other stuff that was running alongside it. And, well, really, that's Leela. It's that dual, that dichotomy.
He is our own Satguru, and we should love him. He is brighter than a thousand seas, shining in the sun. He is pure and fresh as the early morning dew. I'd wish I was a little bird, flying high in every tree.
Thank you.
Well, that was really a very nice song. I remember it myself. I always used to like that song, you know. So how many years were you involved with Maharaji?
Different levels, probably about 15. In my head, I think I mark it down that I left in 1990, and I first got involved, first started hanging around, going to satsang as an aspirant in late 73, so it's more than 15 years, probably 17 years. But I would also say that the last 5 or 6 years, I think I was just gradually pulling further and further away.
So, anyway, tell us a bit about your next song.
Well, the next song's Are You Going With Me by Pat Metheny, and it sort of sums up that period where I was starting to pull away from Maharaji, the Premier community, but I was still really completely rooted in magic thinking and had a whole dialogue going on during that period. And one of the people that really got me through during that then was Pat Metheny. And this track especially is also a little bit emotional, because it's also a track that makes me think of my wife, who I was with for 15 years, who was also a Premier, and brings back a lot of emotions. And remember that period, well, as you remember, when we were living in North London, really sums that up completely.
Well, that's really nice. Yes, I do remember Carol very fondly. So let's hear the song, Are You Going With Me? Thank you.
you know it.
Something else, yeah, yeah. Where are we now in your life? Where are we situated?
Well, I'm coming to the end of my Premier period, and right at the end of the late 80s, I realised I had to make a decision, and not just about Miraji. I was married to a Premier, and I just could not compromise anymore on the stuff that was being avoided. Just so many issues around that territory. I was in the middle of a degree up north at Sheffield and systems modelling, which I really wanted to use for social good. And then I went to a few systems modelling conferences and found that basically everybody there was either working for the chemical establishment or the military. And there was no way I was having that. And I could not see any way around that. So I was getting really disappointed as well with where it was going on the course. So basically I walked out on everything in my life, absolutely everything. My marriage, my belief system, my future. I had no money, no prospects, nothing, didn't know where, and it looked dark to me, seriously bloody dark then, and it was quite tough. And then as things happen, at the same time as that was going on, the whole house thing was starting to happen, and one person on our course got into that music, and the first tape he gave me, and I'm starting to cry just remembering the effect. I just got acid flashbacks. I started shivering internally. I just thought, thank fucking God. And if anybody thinks that there's people out there who haven't got knowledge, who don't understand that experience, well, if they listen to this track and they can't feel it, they've seriously got a lot of work to do on themselves, I reckon. The Sun Is Rising by The Beloved, which I think everybody's probably heard in adverts and everything anyway.
Okay, let's hear The Sun Is Rising. Thank you.
Your wings as the day
So where are we now in your life?
Early 90s, and to be honest, the next track came out nigh on the same time, but I just realised going through this list that although I've always been into really sweet, good vibe, chill out stuff, there's also always been a little bit of me that's just completely mental, and really there aren't any other really mental tracks in here except for the next one, and really probably should have played them the other way around and did this one first and then The Sun Is Rising, because this one is like midnight 2 a.m. free festival rave energy. I mean, just mental energy, the likes of which I've never experienced in my life. Completely transformed me, completely exposed all of the premi spiritual superiority I had. And you go through that huge release when you're realising that you've just got, you're just no different to anybody else on that dance floor. And in fact, some ways they were more real on a soul level than me. And I think most people who knew me then would say I was pretty real. But, well, it's just that energy. It's just phenomenal, phenomenal.
Okay, let's hear Energy Flash. We'll be right back.
Alright.
Alright. I'm sure a lot of people never heard that. I hadn't heard that before.
No, a lot of people haven't.
Alright.
Yeah, it was really big on the hardcore scene. The guy Joey Beltram's out of Belgium. And a lot of the younger ravers who weren't there right early on were into this stuff. It was like hardcore before drum and bass. And this came out of that scene. Now, most of it was it was a bit tacky in patches. There were some great tracks. But that one's just fucking perfect. And I just know so many people on the dance scene who have that as in their top 10 all-time tracks.
Nice. Well, now the next one by Mr. Scruff. I must confess I have heard of Mr. Scruff. Called Get a Move On. What does this song mean to you in particular?
Ah, oh, this song is just the ultimate in bliss. I first heard it in 94-5, maybe slightly later, might have been 96-7, at a big chill festival. And it was at the Lama Tree Gardens, which if anybody's been to Lama Tree Gardens in the West Country, they know how beautiful it is as a site. They've got like Nepalese little buildings, you've got parrots flying overhead, you've got peacocks wandering around in the crowd. I had the sun that day, it was about 85. The vibe there was sweet. Our big chill was always sweet, even nowadays when it's getting a lot bigger. But in those days, it was something else. We're talking 1,500 people completely committed to a certain kind of energy. Mr. Scruff came on. Well, I mean, like Mixmaster Morris, he embodies that vibe. And it was beautiful. I mean, everybody was up dancing. As soon as he dropped Get a Move On, the place just went absolutely mental. And for me, it's like I could have picked any number of tracks, but it's that one that makes me think of the big chill, the constant, almost what I would call satsang moments, where stuff happens with people weaving in the moment all the time. Big chill stuff like that is happening. I just love it.
And do you think Mirage would make a good raver?
That was the best joke I've heard in months. Well, he'd certainly have to get over his inhibitions about dancing, wouldn't he? apart from that, not a chance, mate. Well, how's he going to go on the dance floor as an equal?
I have no idea.
I just cannot imagine it. I just cannot imagine it. I think it would be the best thing ever for him. I think it... if he could do it, but I don't believe for a moment that there's any chance that he could even go anywhere in any direction that would produce that effect. I think the guy's a complete control freak. I think he was completely ingrained into being a control freak when he was young. I don't think he will ever change. Much as I hate it, I suspect I will probably be going to ex-premier forums till the day he's gone. I just don't think there's any way around that one.
Well, since you're the inspirational speaker for today, maybe he's listening to this, and maybe he'll get inspired to dance away his blues. Let's hear Mr. Scruff with Get a Move On.
Indeed. We'll be right back.
Well, so that was Mr. Scruff.
Yeah, he does lots of different stuff to that, but for integrating jazz into house music, I can't imagine anything better unless maybe Rose Rouge by Saint-Germain.
I see. Okay, so let's move on to Sam Bassim.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about the name and about the performers on this.
Yeah, well, it's Sam Bassim. Sorry about that. Brazilian again, drum and bass from about 3 years ago. I was involved with a local sound system around here, drum and bass sound system called the Romford Underground. And most of it was quite heavy. But my favourite DJ is also one of my best mates, DJ Threeform. He was well into Latin drum and bass and would regularly do Latin drum and bass sets. Well, all I can say is, ladies, get out to a Brazilian drum and bass night, because the ladies dominate the floor. They set the vibe, goes with the music. It's just everything that I love about Brazilian music. It's distinctly not male.
So when did you first realise that drum and bass is not God and allowed Brazilian into your life?
I wondered if you were going to get me on that. Probably about 97, 98. There was a period in 94 and 96, 97, and I still believe this, that there were certain drum and bass producers in that community who reached a level of understanding about consciousness and social stuff and embodied it in the music on such a subtle level. Well, I mean, I still go back. I nearly put in loads of tracks. I'm thinking music by LTJ Bookham. Some of the early DJ crust, jazzy drum and bass stuff. It's just something else. Something else. And went through, after that got too dark for me and a bit too sort of gabba technoid. Took a gap for a couple of years and then started getting into Brazilian stuff about, well, 2003.
Right, so you've progressed, no doubt. You've widened your musical universe.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, let's hear Sam Bassim by Fanabda Porta.
Sem pandeiro do ruim, posso ampliar, recorrer, né, vovô? Thank you.
wow to that, man.
Are you smiling or what?
South African vibe, as you call it. Very strong.
Yeah, yeah.
A very common word of your generation, isn't it?
Yes.
Modern generation understand that? Our children's generation.
I must admit, in 1990, when I was first on the rave scene, and my first mate who got into house music, I was chatting with him the other day. We put down a big chill bar for an evening, and he was saying, "My God, it's nice chatting to you now, Hans. Then it really is nice. I used to love you back in the old days, but you were fucking out there, and I never understood a word that you were saying. Well, I don't have that problem now."
That sounds wonderful. Now tell us about your last selection.
Oh,
La Ritournelle by Sebastian.
Well, it's an interesting one. Very emotional. Just pretty much been through the biggest love of my life. And although this track came out afterwards, both me and her recognise it as being just the embodiment of really the sweetest feeling that you can have for anybody else ever. And I suspect long term it might turn out to be the most beautiful track that I've ever known. I know nobody who doesn't love this track, and it's a funny one because the album that it's off, the rest of it is pretty much crap, but this track is just something else, and another reason that I'm just grateful for the whole Big Chill set up. Mixmaster Morris came this out loads last year, and the first time I heard it, I got my mate, because I don't have a mobile, to do 2580 to find out what the track was, and well, I got that sorted in my collection fast. I just love it, and it's just everything to me about the good side of life and human beings.
Well, that's a nice note to finish on. So let's hear Ritournelle. Now, you're on your desert island. We've heard all the music you've got with you. Yep. You're also allowed one luxury item and one book.
Yep.
What are they?
Well, the book, I have a real problem because I'm not doing a lot of reading at the moment, and there haven't been that many books that have transformed my life. I think the nearest I've got to it is a book called The Tree of Knowledge by a South American philosopher called Humberto Maturana, and I think he did it with Eduardo Varela as well, and it's really looking at the whole way we structure our reality and model it, and how that is, how you can view different angles on reality. It's very difficult for me to verbalize this stuff. Instinctively, when I'm reading the book, I understand what he's saying completely, but because the whole notion is very circular, and well, really, I'm really doing a very bad job of selling this book, aren't I? It makes you question your whole reality model, and the way we normally, for me, it had a profound effect. I really can only say that. And it, again, made me realise that even if somebody is having a cosmic experience, which they are directly experiencing as God, and they feel they are experiencing the supreme truth, they are really only experiencing that for themselves. It's not a universal constant. And this book tied in with all of that, and that whole journey away from Raji, the whole concept of Leela, that whole thing of being able to accept my experiences in meditation, as deep and as strong as they are, and as important to me as they are, but to realise that they are important for me, and that doesn't mean that they would necessarily be important for anybody else. The same as anything else that we all get into. So that sums it up, really.
And one luxury item?
The luxury item, I'm going to cheat a bit. I want a solar-powered, satellite-linked laptop, so that I can have access to all the world's media while I'm stuck on the desert island, and can still go in chat rooms and forums and stuff. So I hope you're going to allow that one.
Well, I'll have to take that to the board and the inner circle.
You know it.
But thank you very much for coming to the Learjet today. I have to take off now because I'm going for supper the other side of the world. But hopefully, and thank all the listeners for listening in on this launch. And we'll have another inspirational speaker next week.
But thanks for doing this, Jed, and bearing with us on all the technical problems today. It's been quite a little journey.
Well, maybe it's a start of something. The internet, which was so unknown like a few years ago, it just opened all doors to communication, you know, across all boundaries, across political boundaries and all sorts of things. It's absolutely amazing. It's got a very, very, very large plus size. Remember, Maharaji hated it in the beginning.
Oh, indeed, and not surprisingly, because it's going to expose the lies and the cover-up, like the knowledge techniques being unique to him, which, if I'd have known a long time ago, would have made a huge difference to my life.
Yeah, I tend to agree. A bit of honesty would have made a huge difference
in
a lot of people's lives. Anyway, hopefully, as time goes on, more things will come out. People get a chance to express what they need to express.
Yes.
Okay, so good night to everybody.
Indeed. And catch you all soon.
Bye.